Morning. I've been asked to speak about gentleness, and I kind of thought, okay, someone's having a laugh asking me to speak about that. That's not particularly my strongest fruit of the Spirit. But this morning we're talking about gentleness. So to bring us up to speed, maybe if you're here for the first time today, if you've not been following the passage, if you've not been following the series, I'll just kind of bring you up to speed with this kind of letter that went to the Galatians. Now, I'm going to do so by just using a bit of an illustration and a picture. So I think Nick's got a picture that he's going to put up for me. Now, you might not know who this is, but this is a guy called Matt Emmons. Matt Emmons, as you can see, just had a sneaky drink. Matt Emmons was a pretty good shooter with a gun, okay? And this is the 2004 Olympic Games this picture was taken. So Matt Emmons, he was pretty good at what he's doing. Now, in this kind of shooting game, the targets are all lined up in front of you, like in a row, and you've got kind of your lane that you're shooting at. And Matt Emmons was there, and he was in first place, and he was going to win gold. He was going to kind of win this whole event. And all Matt Emmons had to do to win was just hit the target. That's all he had to do, just to hit the target. So he gets there, Matt Emmons, he gets his gun out, he kind of lines up the target, and he doesn't just hit the target where he's aiming, he hits bullseye. And so Matt Emmons, as he's looking there, he's hit bullseye, and he's kind of expecting a massive amount of applause. He's expecting his family to run on, he's expecting celebrations, he's expecting, you know, the whole scene to break out. But nothing happens, and so he kind of looks around at his family, and they've got like a look of just shock on the face, and everyone's kind of wondering, what's going on, what's... And he looks up again to realise he's hit bullseye, but he was aiming at the wrong target. And so that caused, from winning a gold medal in the Olympics, he realises, I've been shooting at the wrong target. I don't know about you, but so often in my life, I'm aiming at the wrong target and I experience the wrong results from which. And a bit like that, Paul starts writing to these Galatians and he pulls them back in verse 1 to say, listen team, you've kind of been shooting at the wrong target. And so Paul brings them right back to the bullseye of the bullseye at the start of Galatians. He says, listen, the bullseye is this. It's that Christ died for our sins and he's died on our behalf. And he says, when we've got that right, when we've got the target right, when we're in the right place with God, when we've got the gospel right, grace and peace comes out and glory to God comes out. And so he just kind of starts the whole book there. He says, right, everyone's got to focus back in. I think you've been missing the target. I think you've been doing something wrong. And here's the truth, that God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son to hang on the cross, to get whipped and flogged on our behalf, to take our sins, to take our punishment, to take our shame and our blame and our pain. And he does so for us on our behalf. And then when we kind of accept that, when we kind of turn to God and receive his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy, then what comes out in our life, it's fruit and it's glory to God. So that's where Paul goes at the start of this letter. And these Galatians, they were experiencing kind of rotten fruit because the root was wrong. And they were experiencing kind of slavery in their lives because people were coming in saying, you've got to obey all these other laws to try and obey God, to try and earn your salvation. And he brings them back to the very simple fact that it's just for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for freedom, and he's died for us. He's taken everything on himself. He's done everything on our behalf so that we can have life and life in all its fullness with him. So, as a result of that, he then goes on to talk about, okay, if you've got the bullseye right, if you've got that all good, then what's going to come out in your relationship with God, being adopted into his family to live a life of freedom with him as your father, what's going to come out is this fruit of the Spirit. And it's kind of like, you know, like in a couple of months' time, okay, England is going to go bananas again, which we do every year, and everybody's eyes are going to start swelling, and everybody's like going to start dripping tears from their eyes. We're going to have snot dribbling off our faces, and we're going to have all these symptoms, and they're the symptoms of hay fever, exactly. And when you know what these symptoms are, you kind of know what's going on. And like that, the symptoms of the Spirit, like you will know much more than me, is grace, it's peace, it's love, it's gentleness, it's all these faithfulness, self-control. And obviously you know them better than me because you've been going through them. And this is the fruit that comes out in our life. And so today I've just been asked to speak briefly on gentleness. Now, to kind of get me into this, I was thinking, right, when have I ever experienced gentleness as a fruit in my life coming out? And I had to track back a little while, but it brought me to a time when I used to play rugby down the road for Preston Grasshoppers. And I thought, okay, if ever there's an opportunity to be gentle, it's on the rugby pitch, isn't it? Obviously, okay? So I'm there and I'm in this rugby game. And I was doing pretty well, okay? I was having a real good battle royale with my opposing number. Okay, I was playing centre that day, and I was having a real good battle. Now, what happened was there was a particular instance. I got the ball, I passed it on, and just as I've let go of the ball, someone comes in and clatters me. We end up in like a little tangle on the floor. It was all right. It was a bit late, but it was all right. I'll get over it. And we kind of came up, just jumped up, and we kind of had hold of each other's shirt like this kind of thing, which you're just kind of doing rugby and you don't let go because you're tough and all that. So kind of we had hold of each other's shirt, all right, and so obviously a little bit of panic sets in for me because I'm a good Christian boy with a side party and I don't do this, do you know what I mean? Like so I've got hold of this guy and I don't know why, but he just decides, right, he's going to thump me. So he just goes for it and just goes bang, straight across my face. It was a little bit harder than I just made it out to. I'm all right, by the way. Everyone's laughing. I've just been punched in the face over here. So, punches me in the face. And in that moment, I've got like a couple of options of how I'm going to respond to this. Okay? As I say, panic's already set in. Okay? I don't really know what to do in this situation. So, I've got a couple of options. Option one, like, I could just go for it and sort this out and just give him some back and we'll just go bop and we'll get in a fight and I'll lose and it'll be embarrassing, okay? That's kind of what could happen. Or I could say, well, I'm a passive Christian, so hit me again. Please go for it. Go for it. You know what I mean? Like, let's help you. Call the boys. Let's do it. You know, I could do that one. I don't know what came over me. I don't know what exactly happened, but and it was by no kind of genius stroke in my brain, whatever. But what actually happened, I just instinctively just kind of stuck my hand out to shake his hand. And I just said, listen, pal, I've come to play rugby with you. Should we just crack on with the game? The panic got worse. I was like, oh, no, what's going to happen? But honestly, right, the look on his face he was just amazed. He didn't have a clue, just shock and horror. He did not understand what was going on. It was like he's just seen Andrew Garner's moonwalk for the first time. It was like just shock on his face. And no word of a lie, right? That guy, he then said, oh, he just kind of shot and he just said, oh, honestly, he said, sorry, mate, you're just a better rugby player than me. That's what he said. I thought, man, that's quite amazing. And but it just kind of, it's an illustration I sometimes go back to when I'm thinking about this particular thing. Because in that moment, anything could have happened. I could have got even, it wasn't fair, could have gone for that. But I kind of responded in a way, it just unlocked something that was going on inside of him. And when I was kind of asked to speak, I also got sent this Proverb 15:1, and it just summed it up fantastically. And it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. A gentle answer turns away wrath. I was thinking, I didn't know that proverb on that rugby pitch that day. Probably good because I'd have messed it up, but fantastic. And that kind of sums up that illustration of this is kind of gentleness in action, and this is what happens. And so I was kind of thinking a little bit more about this, and I was thinking, is there anywhere else kind of in Scripture where we see this playing out? And I was kind of thinking, right, well, I'd like to know sort of how this works a little bit. I'd like to understand a little bit more about this. And obviously, you think about Jesus, don't you? And you think about, has he ever taught about this? Has he ever taught about this gentleness? And so that kind of brings my mind into the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is talking about this, how we reply to our enemies, how we treat those people. And so Matthew 5, now I'm going to need a volunteer to come and help me up on the platform because I need to slap somebody. So if anybody's got any work, it's Mother's Day, no. I'll probably just pick on someone, could I? So, so we're going to pray. And Oh, cool. What's your name, sir?
Paul.
Paul, very good to meet you. Do we have elders overseeing and ministry team ready? Okay, now, just before, like, we're gonna chuck a couple of verses up on screen, but just so, like, I don't know if you've ever been on holiday, if you've ever been to Africa or like France or somewhere like that. I once went to Africa, to South Africa, Cape Town, and when I got there, everyone was like eating with their hands and just everything, like salads, mashed potato, everything was with the hands, and it was like culture shock. I was like, this is weird, I slipped in well, but it was kind of culture shock. And sometimes, like, when we're reading the Bible, we've kind of got to get ourselves into the culture and a bit of culture shock, what exactly is going on here. And so I'm just kind of going to read through these, but first of all, before we do, like, so, because me and Paul are mates, we're mates, glory to God, right? So, and what happens, like, in that culture, to kind of embrace people, what's going to happen? Like, today we might go for the whole, well, we went for a polite handshake, didn't we? But, like, because we're mates, we kind of go in, like, with a bit of one of those. That's kind of what happens. In those days, what would have happened was, maybe with our like, kind of right hand, we'd maybe go for a bit of a shoulder there, because we're mates. Yep, good. And a bit of one of those. Or you might go for it politely, just like a bit of a round the cheek, because we're mates again. And going well. Were you here for the peace talk? Yeah, cool, right. So, and that's kind of what's going to happen, all right? Kind of right hand, we're mates, we're cool, we're like fellowship, we're bros, that kind of thing. Now, Jesus is obviously teaching, right, because obviously it's not always that perfect, okay? And so Jesus is teaching these people, and he's saying, first of all, he's saying, verse 38, he's saying, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Okay, so he's teaching the people how to live with each other, how to kind of respond to people who may hurt you. He said, you've heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Now, what Jesus is doing, he's referring back to the Old Testament where God would have put this in place and said an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. Now, the reason that was said back in the Old Testament was because as people were falling out and people were sinning against each other, saying bad things, doing bad things, stealing, you know, houses and wives and all sorts of stuff was going on, what they were doing, they were replying with a punishment that just far exceeded the kind of sin in the first place. And so the reason this was putting God was putting this in place was God was like, I just kind of just want to level everybody out to start with. So he's saying, don't kind of reply with like punishment that just far exceeds, you know, it's like someone nicks a penny sweet and it's like, okay, death. You know, that wasn't, it's not going to kind of work. So God kind of wanted to level everyone out and said, okay, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. That's Old Testament. And that's kind of the even, kind of Stephen thing that God was trying to put in place first. He was saying, let's at least be fair with each other. Now, Jesus comes along, and as he so often does, he calls us to a higher level of freedom. When Jesus kind of gives commands and he puts a bar in place, it's because he's saying there's more freedom available, there's more kind of love and hope in the world, so I'm going to call you up to that one. So, Paul, sorry for keeping you waiting there. Verse 39, okay, so you've heard it said, let's be fair, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Okay, so what's going on here? Okay, first of all, I tell you, don't resist an evil person. Pretty obvious. Don't make it worse for yourselves. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Now, again, we've kind of got to understand what's going on here. So, I'll be the slapper, you be the slappy. Okay, just the way. The way this is going to go. I am in charge, Paul. Thank you for letting us know. Okay, now, in that culture, so it says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, Paul, just point to your right cheek. Show everyone which your right cheek is. Good, very handsome right cheek. Now, if I slap Paul on his right cheek, there's kind of a few options of how this is going to go. You might expect kind of a bit of a left-hand kind of forehand kind of Tim Henman, bit weak, but, you know, might do that. Now, in that culture, that's not going to happen, okay? I'm not going to use my left hand to do that, okay? This hand is used for other things, okay? Other such cleaning things, places, okay, wiping just things, all right? So we're gonna leave that, okay? And that would be considered just full on absolute degrading this human being, and they just wouldn't have done that, okay? So here's what they would have done. So if I'm gonna slap you on that side, if I'm gonna use my right hand, I may want to use my open kind of side to get some real power into that. So I might go for a bit of a kind of Diljan scoop for any cricket fans, but that's not really going to kind of work, is it? So the way they would have done it was like a bit of a backhand slap to the right cheek. So I would go at that and slap him, okay? And that's how it would, go, okay? So I'd slap him to the right cheek like that, and then blood and sweat would travel that way as it would. So then it kind of goes on to say, right, if anyone slapped you on the right cheek, what do you do? Well, he's got like a few options now. He can either kind of eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and go back, which would be bad news for him. And he would kind of resist that evil person. He'd get into it. He'd get into this, well, let's fight fair with fair, you know. And we get into that. But Jesus doesn't do that. He says, turn to them the other cheek. Also, now why is this? Is this because Jesus is kind of saying, yeah, because you're a passive Christian with a side parting, is what you should do. You should just let him keep hitting you. I'm a Christian. Hit me again. Hit me again. Hit me again. That's not really, I don't see that in the Bible, Jesus ever promoting receiving abuse ever. You know what I mean? So that's not really where Jesus is going with this one. So it says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And he's just opened his left cheek, leaving me what option? Slap him. I'm not going to use this hand again. I'm not going to come in with a weird back and then. But he's left me with that option there. Now what is that in that culture? That's friendship, and that's fellowship, and that's brotherhood. So Jesus is saying here, okay, if someone comes and sins against you, if someone comes and slaps you, what do? You turn the open cheek of fellowship and you tell that person, I love you. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty countercultural. That's quite interesting from Jesus there. And so that's pretty interesting, because that kind of sums up what Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer is going to turn away wrath. Whew. I feel peaceful we just got through this. Could you give Paul a massive round of applause? Good man. And so with this in mind, it kind of challenges you about your relationships. It challenges you to think about how you would act in your life. It challenges you to think, okay, what are those times when people have sinned against me? What are those times people have said things, done things, they've made me feel bad? How do I respond? Is the gentleness kind of flowing out of my life? Is the fruit of the Spirit just evident in those situations? And listen, I don't know about any of you, but in that moment, on that rugby pitch, every kind of bone in my body wanted to respond with anger. It wanted to respond with wrath. Just in that moment then, I bet Paul, there's nothing kind of natural that wells up inside of you to saying, I'm going to love this person who's just sinned against me. And really, we have to kind of get to a position where we have to think to ourselves, okay, am I here to fight with people? Or am I here to fight for people? And the kind of the army that God's calling us up to is to be an army of peacemakers, an army of people who spread this fruit of the Spirit, an army of people who say, I'm here to fight for people. And so no matter how much that kind of sin has been committed against you, no matter how much that hurts, no matter how much people have really done something bad to you and got to you, you've still got to come to the position, okay, as a Christian, am I here to fight with this person, or am I here to fight for this person? And it's interesting because this very much kind of wraps up and explains and illustrates God's heart for us. And so as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, okay, I'm thinking about my wrath against other people, I'm thinking about other people's wrath against me. But then sometimes this word wrath, we quite often just give that, oh, that's God's wrath. That's God's wrath on us. And we just put that label there. Well, how about for a second, our wrath against God? How about the way we've sinned against God? How does he respond to us? And I kind of think in my life, do you know what? The number of times I've sinned against God, the number of times I've lied, the number of times I've stole, and I think, man, what was God's reply to me? if God's kind of outlook on everything was, I'm going to reply an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and give me my just deserve, that ain't going to go well for me, and that's going to be eternally a bad thing for me. But God, in his wisdom and his love and his grace and his mercy, he replies to me, he replies to all my sin, and he replies with love. And he does so through the cross, and he does so, and it says in Romans 5:8, it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in that situation of sinning against him, while we were still in that situation of falling short of his glory, still doing everything that we know we shouldn't be doing, Christ died for us in the middle of that situation. And so kind of our message for you this morning is, no matter how much you've sinned, no matter what sin you've done against God, no matter what you've done against people, no matter how big that mess is, the cross of Christ is bigger. And his grace for you and his love for you far outweighs and far outshadows any of the sin that you've ever committed against him. And I just find it amazing that a just God, a loving God, will come and hang on a cross all day long for me. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, man, is there any kind of ways I've seen this play out in any other instances? There was this time when I was just helping lead a bit of a youth club once. And it was back at my old church, and we were leading this event called Week on Warm Up. And there was hundreds of kids that were coming to this event, and there was like a band night, and we just had a heart to see kids just coming in from the community, just coming somewhere close to the gospel to build relationships with people and to just explain this God who's amazing. And as part of what was happening, it was kind of becoming like the place to be. There's hundreds of kids coming along to these band nights, and they obviously, at kind of 17, 18 years old, they were kind of getting familiar with, alcoholic substances, and they were kind of wanting to come in and experience it on that whole new level. Now, we obviously didn't let anybody drink on the inside, because it was in a high school as well, so that wouldn't be good. So what we kind of realized was happening, that these kids would queue up outside, they'd kind of neck a bottle of Wicked, and then come in, and then as the night would go on, we'd just kind of slowly notice their dance moves deteriorating throughout the night, and they'd go out drunk somehow, and I don't know. So anyway, so there was this one particular time, and this couple of kids came in, and it was pretty clear that after half an hour or so, these kids had been kind of preparing themselves on the outside and drinking way too much Wicked and vodka and all sorts of kind of stuff. So they were in, and they became a bit of a mess, really. Now, what happened was, these two kids, they went to the toilet, okay, and they thought, while they're there, they're going to trash the place, as you do. So we kind of found out, and we realized, and some people came out after them. They'd been in, they'd seen this mess, they came out, and they realized, okay, these people have kind of made an absolute mess of the toilets. They'd wrecked the place. There was sinks everywhere. There was like doors everywhere. There was walls everywhere. And so we realized this had happened, and we thought, okay, this is bad. And there was a head of security, and we're like panicking because we're overseeing this youth club. It's going to get shut down. There's going to, all this is going through your head. And so the head of security kind of finds these two kids, pulls them into an office, pulls me and one of the other leaders in, and just says, like, look, fellas, like, we're gonna have to report this. It's not our property. This, we're just going to get told off. This whole thing is just going to go really bad. We're going to have to report this to the police. So we report this to the police, and we say to them, like, can you just take it easy on them? And they're like, no. They kind of got to lay the law down, and, rightly so, maybe. And they said to these kids, right, we're going to have to fine you. We're going to have to charge you for what you've done. So these kids are trying to get out of it, and we want to protect them and be nice to them, but it wasn't going to happen. So they kind of go to the police, station the next day. They get charged. They get fined. We find out about this, and I'm thinking, man, this is bad. Like, I just want these kids to just come to the youth club, not drink alcohol next week, and everything will be fine. So that kind of the situation escalated, and that was Friday night, so I'm now in church on Sunday morning. And so in church on Sunday morning, I kind of walking around thinking, what we're going to do, how we're going to kind of sort out this situation. Someone in church just kind of walks over to me and, is asking me about, what's happening, what we're going to do. I was like, I don't know, we just need to get in touch with them, make sure they come back next time, kind of thing. And then this person says, right, well, obviously, like, we're going to have to, ban them. We're going to have to ban these kids. I was like, we're going to have to what? We're going to have to ban these kids? Hang on, let me check my Bible. Whereas that's not kind of the gospel I've been brought up on. I'm going to have to ban these kids. And I'm thinking, oh no, this is bad. Now there's going to be this, you know, the sweep of people saying, let's get rid of these kids. The head of security just kind of walks over into the middle of this conversation, joins in, and he says, oh, you know, what are we thinking about these kids? Like, I've kind of had a few thoughts, and I'm thinking, oh no, he's going to want to ban them forever. This is just going from bad to worse. And he stands there and he says, you know what, I've been thinking about these kids, and I've been thinking about how we as a church should kind of approach these young people and what we should do to them. And he said, so, like, I want to volunteer, and church can join in, but I'd like to step on it, and I'd like to pay the fine for these young people. And I'd like to pay the price that they now have to pay because they've come and caused such a mess, and because they've come and wrecked the toilets. And I was thinking in that moment, hallelujah, we've broke through this little problem that we had. And for me, that's an illustration of our relationship with God. You know, I had the chance to then go and take this kid from McDonald's and say, like, here's the money for the fine that you owe. And I was able to explain the gospel to these young people. I was able to gather this team around to say, listen, here's how we as a church are going to love this community. Here's how we're going to do this. We're here to respond to wrath. We're here to respond to sin with gentleness so that God's love overflows. And it's an illustration of how God loves us. That no matter what we've done against him, God has stepped in to pay our fine, and he's replied to our sin with gentleness and the gentleness of the cross. No matter how much we've lied, there's a loving God that's kind of stepped into human history to pay our fine on the cross. No matter how much we've stolen, Jesus has come along. He loves us so much. He's died on the cross for us. No matter when we disobey our mum and dad, no matter when we forget about the Sabbath, no matter when we commit murder, no matter when we hate people, there's a God who's came and he's loved us so much. He's died on the cross for us. No matter kind of how much we commit adultery, no matter how much we look at things on the internet that we shouldn't do, no matter how much we look lustfully at people, there's 50 shades of grace in the Bible that when Jesus came and he died on a cross, he's come to save us from all of our sin. And this is the message of the gospel, that he has replied to our sin with the gentleness of the cross. While we were sinners, God replied by dying for us. I'm not entirely sure how long I've got left, but I'm just going to finish with, you know, a bit of a story of one of the young people at our church, and maybe just inspire some of the mums in the room as well. But we've got this little girl at our church. Oh, there she is, Nick, ahead of the game. I couldn't find a picture without me on the background, so sorry about that. But this is little Jess at our church. I call her Jessie Pops. And she's just like one of the cutest little things. She's also, seriously, the most energetic person I've ever met in my entire life. Like, she would give Paul a good run for his money. Like, she's, you give Red Bull to some kids to liven them up. You give Jess a Red Bull to kind of bring her down. She's that energetic. Jess is just amazing. And this is Jess standing up at church and giving her testimony. And it was pretty cool that day. Big Ian came to preach for us, and it just kind of blew everybody away. And I asked Jess, would it be all right if I go and share your testimony with Forward and just kind of go and encourage the church over at Forward? And she said, yeah, so that's cool. And so she said this, to anyone that doesn't know me, I'm Jessica, and I'm 10. I've grown up in a Christian home with my mum and sister, Chloe. We have been coming to Cornerstone, now Light Church, since I was one, and we've been here ever since. I became a Christian and asked Jesus into my heart on Easter Sunday when I was 6. I remember Stephen Scholes and Andrew Belshaw asking if anybody wanted to ask Jesus as their Lord and Saviour to come to the front. The band played some music, and I remember my heart beating fast, and I felt as though God was saying, come to me. So I got up out of my seat. I think my mum thought I was going to the toilet, but I just toddled right to the front and held my hands out in front of me. I just said, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. I was so happy. I just remember the feeling so warm inside, and that Jesus, I remember knowing that Jesus died on the cross to take away all of my sins so that we can have life in all its fullness. Skip a bit. I feel like I've grown so much in my Christian life. I'm not scared of standing up and sharing my faith. I just want to be a shining light in the darkness and for people to see Jesus through me and to be a good disciple of Jesus. She carries on and she says, I was going through I've just lost my place. She said, there's a... Bear with me 1 second. She said, I'm not scared of standing up and sharing my faith. I just want to be a shining light in the darkness. She says, there's one person in particular who has really inspired me over the past year, and that was my mum. Since we found out in February last year that she had breast cancer, it's been a really amazing to watch how she has dealt with everything. I remember the day she told us, and then followed by saying that even in a bad situation, he is still God. And if we keep our eyes fixed on him, he'll be with us through any situation. This was a hard situation in my life, but I always knew that God was the light in any darkness that I was going through. She continues to say, in the future, I just want to be, I want God to work in my life and for me to follow his plan for me and also help bring other people to God. It's amazing to hear little Jessie's testimony because she got the target right in her life. She just knew it's as simple as just asking Jesus into her heart to understand that he's forgiven us of all our sin, to understand that he's replied to our sin with gentleness. And just naturally at 10 years old, without really thinking too much about it, she now just says, I want to be a shining light into this world and I want to bring other people to meet this God that I've met. Little Jess is amazing. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was just chatting to little Jess and her mum, Sandra, was there as well. And I was chatting to Jess and I said, Jess, tell me about school. How's it going? She's just started high school. And she goes, yeah, it's going all right. It's going all right. I said, cool. How's your friends? Tell me about your friends. And so she reeled off kind of 4 or 5 names of people that she's friends with. And so that was cool and normal, and she just kind of ran off into the distance. And Sandra turned around and she said, wow, that was pretty interesting. I was like, oh, why? You know, that was just standard. She said, well, one of those girls she was kind of talking about a couple of days ago, she told me she came home from school and something like pretty bad happened at school. I was like, well, go on. She said, right, well, they were kind of hanging around at playtime, and one of these girls came over to Jess, kind of pinned her up against the wall, had her hands around her neck, and was kind of bullying her and doing all this. The situation fizzled out. Jess came home that night, was kind of doing prayer time at bedtime, tells her mum this story, and her mum says, oh, right, well, what should we do about this girl who's pinned you up by the throat at school? What should we do? And little Jess says, well, I think we should just pray for her, because maybe she's like going through a bit of a tough time in life. Who knows kind of what's going on? I just found it amazing. Little Jess, 10 years old, there's the fruit of the Spirit coming out in her life. There's nothing inside of me that would want to be nice to someone who's just been bullying me at school and holding me up by the throat. But little Jess, doing this, the fruit of the Spirit has come out in her life to say, I'm not here to fight with people. I'm here to fight for people. Little Jess, if you were I was asking her another time, you know, what she's been up to. I said, you know, Andy Barnett's got lazy, stepped out of the youth. You know, there's nothing much happening on Friday nights at the moment. What do you do with your Friday nights? Little Jess says, well, Friday nights, kind of when youth hasn't been on, me and my mum, what we do is we go up into Blackpool, we drive around, we take some food with us, we find some homeless people, and we give some homeless people some food, and we just help them, and we kind of might give them the odd blanket or something like that. I just found it amazing. Little Jess, 10 years old, she's hitting the bullseye of the target. She just knows that Jesus loves her, he died for her, and now out of her life is coming this fruit where there's just gentleness and peace and love and hope just flowing out and flowing through her. I'm just here to come to encourage you as a church today that I believe that you're the light of the world. And I believe that if you lot are shooting at the bullseye of this target, if you're kind of right on track with Jesus, keeping it simple, that he came to die for you, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you any more or any less, then there's fruit that's going to come out in your lives. And I just believe that kind of if these walls are going to break down, if we're going to break out and we're going to fill 2 services, then we've got to start with the walls that are around our heart. So I'm just wondering today if anybody needs to come back to the simplicity of the gospel to understand that Jesus has died for you in your place for any sins that you've committed. And if you've offended God, if you've sinned against God, the message today is that while you're in that sin, Jesus died for you. He loves you so much, he hung on a cross all day long. And if we just let God come and just fill our hearts with his Holy Spirit, he's going to break open those walls and the love of God is going to be able to break out and it's going to be able to change this world and we're going to be able to see 2 services filled. I'm going to be able to see 4 services filled, because if you're going to 2 services, it's probably because God wants 4 services. And so I'm just going to finish by praying. Just as I pray, I just wonder this morning if it was just, may have been particularly relevant to anybody. Maybe there's a situation in your life where you know, man, I'm going to have to respond with gentleness to someone who's sinned against me. Maybe there's a situation, a time, a specific instance in your life where you're thinking, yeah, I remember this time when I've been sinned against and I need to reply with gentleness. I'm going to need God's help with that one. I'm wondering if it's particularly relevant to you today. I'm wondering if anyone's here, maybe even here for the first time today, and maybe you've just kind of been refreshed of the message of the gospel that God so loves you that he's replied to your sin with the love of God and he sent his son to die for you. I'm just wondering if today has been particularly relevant at all. I'm just going to pray a general prayer. But if it's been relevant for you today, I'd just kind of like to pray with you in mind. I'm not going to shout your name out. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if it's you today and you'd like to say, yeah, I'm going to need God's help with this one. Maybe you'd like to receive God's forgiveness today. Then I'm just going to ask you to just very subtly just to raise your hand in the air. And then I just kind of know I'm not going to be praying to nobody. So if it's you this morning, if you'd like to respond to God, to his word, then you can just lift your hand. So I know I'm not praying for nobody. I'm going to pray anyway. But if it's you. Cool. I'm going to pray. Father God, I thank you for the fact you love us. Father God, I thank you for the fact you've created us all. And Lord, you've made us in your image. Father God, I thank you for this church, full of Free Methodists, Lord, and for the light it is, for the source of encouragement it is for so many people, God. I thank you it's a place where your praises are sung and your gospel is preached, God. I thank you today that we can just come before your word, Lord, and we can look at these the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, and to see that how that can work in our lives. Father, we thank you that it drives us back to the gospel to make sure that we're just in line with you, God, and just the simplicity of knowing that you've died for us. Father God, I thank you for the people who just raised their hand this morning to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to need your help in this situation in my life. Father, I pray that you are going to be with those people, Lord. I pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that you will enable them and equip them, Lord, for at the right time to respond with gentleness into whatever situation that may be. Lord, you know the situation, you know the people involved, you know the time and the place, and whatever's happened there. Father, I pray that you will be their source of strength, their source of life in that place. Father God, I pray that as people choose to reply with gentleness, that Father God, you will send your Spirit into those situations, and you may just unlock whatever sin, whatever wrath has been happening, Lord, and that you will do a supernatural work to unlock the heart of the one who's been sinning. Father God, I pray that as a result, you may be glorified, Lord, and that your gospel will kind of be able to walk through that doorway of what's happened in that situation. Father God, I thank you again for this church. I thank you for the leaders. I pray that you will continue to bless this church, Lord. I pray that you will do way more than they ask or imagine, Lord. And as they step out in faith and they work together to change this community, Lord, as they do that and they go to two services and they continue with their amazing youth work and kids work and missionary work, that, Lord God, you'll just pour out your Holy Spirit into this church, Lord, and you'll break open these walls and we'll need to knock down the building and start again and build a bigger one. Father God, I thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. In the name of Jesus, amen.